Are you ready to sell more books? I'm Brian Cohen.
And I'm Claire Taylor. If you're ready to get your books into the hands of the right readers
and make some more money,
you've come to the right podcast.
And now it's time to talk tips, tricks, and news to help you sell more of your books. Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Sell More Book Show, episode 463. I'm Brian Cohen from Best Page Forward, joined by Claire Taylor from FFS Media. Claire, your Kickstarter ended.
Thank God.
So a great experience had by all.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. You know, you can enjoy something all the way through and you know, feel like don't let the door hit you. Yeah. But it went really well. I'm very happy with how it turned out. I'm excited. I'm finishing up. Well, I just finished the first passive revisions on book three of this series. So it's almost ready to go out. I'm actually quite on time. I'm not ahead of the game, but I am on the game.
On the game is better than off the game.
I'm not off my game. Not today.
That's good.
So, yeah, it's good. It's nice to have everything together. Oh, I set a backer kit today. I finally finished that. Ooh. I didn't use it for the first one, and I was regretful about that. Mm-hmm. So I'm using it for the second one. I think it's going to make everything a lot easier as soon as I figure it out 100%. But I think I'm good on it. So, yeah. I'm ready to rock and roll. I'm moving forward with that Kickstarter, and I won't be doing one for a little while.
I think that's fine. I don't think everyone is going to be an every month Kickstarter person.
Oh, Lord, no. No. I mean, I do have ideas for future ones, but
yeah,
I have some things I've promised to folks that I have to fulfill first. So, yeah. What's new with you, Brian?
Oh, well, I'm like trying out my new systems of doing less per day. And I think that's been really, really positive. A few days after we release this, I'll be having my weekend self-publishing live event, which you've participated in as a speaker in the past. And I'm really excited. This is like, we've sold more tickets to this one than any ever. So I'm all like, all right, this is great. It's a good thing I don't ever have another one planned because, you know, it's doing so well. But I'm really excited about that. And Jen LaSalle, who has guest co-hosted the show before, I could not do it without her. And so I'm really excited that the two of us will be teaming up on that again. And then, I'm really trying to embrace doing less this year. And I think that it is showing up in a lot of good ways in my life.
Yeah, this is a trend that I'm seeing that I'm really, really happy about. Authors taking more time for other things. And it's really hard. Like, I don't think it should be understated how hard it is. Because there is a lot going on behind why we do the things that we do. So, yeah, it can be tough. It can be really, really tough. I've been talking to a lot of authors lately who are trying to do that and are like, but how do I do different? You know, it's like, well, you're going to have to take a leap of faith. There's definitely a leap of faith involved in changing our patterns at all.
Oh, absolutely. And I felt that, and I felt some struggle going through it, but I'm really excited. I definitely think you've rubbed off on me a little, Claire. So thank you for the inspiration.
Oh, well, I'm proud of you, Brian. And I don't think it's my doing. I think you had to do all the work. So way to go.
Oh, I know. But you know, I still, this is my Oscar speech. So.
Oh, okay. All right. So I'll just sit here and nod.
Yeah, exactly.
Cry a little bit.
Yeah, a little proud tear. Fist bump.
I'll do that. Just give me a second. Let me poke myself in the eye.
Okay, yeah, that's the way to do it.
Prime the pump a little bit.
So let's go into the show here. Question of the week from 2 weeks ago was, what do you think the real reason behind ACX's price changes could be? And do you think it could end up being beneficial two authors. Cassandra Medcalf, who is a narrator and an author, said, "I think more authors are promoting direct sales and websites like Chirp to their fans, and ACX/Audible is trying to stay ahead. They're probably particularly afraid now that Spotify is in the game."
And Robert Graver said, "I think Audible are playing the long game here as a way to increase their profits at the expense of the authors. It's a known fact that using tokens or credits as a form of payment makes the consumer feel like they're getting something for free."
Good observation there. And Darren Sapp said, "I looked at my sales by year for a correlation of books purchased by members with credits, books purchased by members with cash, and books purchased by non-members with cash. I expected to find an increase in the latter two categories, but I'm not finding that, although it is only a sample in the hundreds." So maybe ACX is finding an increase in those paying cash as opposed to joining for membership, or maybe their research shows that audiobook listeners are no longer willing to pay the CD price they once did for audiobooks. I think that's pretty well said there, Darren.
Right, a lot of holdovers from the CD days.
Those CD days. I remember going to the library and getting the giant VHS kind of cassette holders, all with tapes, with like 10 tapes for Harry Potter or something, and those were the best.
Yeah, well, they're not the best. That's why we have new, but they are. They're big and clunky and could only play so many times, but right. Yeah, no. And I mean, it's like even audiobook covers are still shaped like a CD case.
I know. That's the funniest thing.
It's ridiculous, but we are moving forward in time.
Yeah. And we're moving forward with some challenges in the audio world. So it's a good segue into our top story of the day, Apple and training the machines. Authors and narrators are upset at Apple and Findaway Voices for contract fine print that allows Apple to use their audiobook files for machine learning or AI voice training, reports Victoria Strauss of Writer Beware. The clause starts with, quote, "Rights holder grants Apple a limited, non-exclusive, non-transferable, non-sublicensable right and license to use audiobook files for machine learning training and models," end quote. There is no button to opt out. Instead, the author, not the narrator, must email Findaway Voices for each audiobook they've published. Wired Magazine's Shubham Agrawal writes that some authors and narrators say they were not clearly informed about the clause and were not happy to learn that their books or voices could be used to develop Apple's AI voices. It seems that the narrator side agreement doesn't include anything about the machine learning mentioned in the author's agreement. Quote, "It feels like a violation to have our voices being used to train something for which the purpose is to take our place," says narrator Andy Garcia-Ruz. According to SAG-AFTRA, the backlash has led to a reversal from Apple and Findaway, as they've agreed to stop use of the audiobook files for machine learning, although non-union narrators are concerned they will not be protected. I saw this initially on TikTok and shared it with Roland, and he found this piece from Writer Beware. Claire, what do you think about this? I mean, my initial thought was, oh, it's something to do with Spotify and Findaway, but then I realized, oh, it's specifically Apple. So what are your thoughts?
Well, this is a tricky situation. I mean, the right thing is for Apple to not do that. This clause, going through Victoria Strauss's post, this clause has been in there since at least 2019.
Oh, wow.
So back then, were we considering this? Were we worried about this? Was this even on our radar? Not really. We're just like, okay, yeah, fine. Machine learning sounds cool. Next. It is something that we're going to run up against, I think, over and over again, and that the tech companies know what's coming up and are going to be getting the rights for it before we have any clue what they're going to be using those rights for. So this is a good, you know, this is a good process. I think that SAG-AFTRA has a good point. you yeah. know? And it's tricky because when you are a narrator and you record the book, you give all of it over to the author. So now you don't get to make a decision about right. what's going on with those files anymore. And so then it's up to the author, who is not the main stakeholder in this particular clause, to decide what to do. And, you know, people were worried like, okay, well, you can opt out of the find a way thing, but you have to opt in initially. Then they already have the files and it's too late to opt out. The damage has been done. So that it's just kind of a messy situation with a lot of different players and a lot of different, you know, things at stake.
Right.
And we're going to keep running up against it. And the only way anything is going to get done is if big groups like SAG-AFTRA get involved, because they have more power than any individual. So
absolutely,
that's why we have unions.
Yeah, it's always going to be these unions. Like the Authors Guild contributed to getting the return policy on audiobooks improved, and I've seen now petitions going out about. Trying to cut down on the number of Amazon accounts, KDP accounts that are getting closed due to people in KU getting their books pirated, and then Amazon punishing the person who didn't do anything wrong. And I've certainly reached out to my contacts. I said, hey, this change.org petition has 23,000 signees. I hope that you're seeing this, because it's not a good look. And this is exactly the same thing, but on Apple rather than on Amazon. I think that the big groups are absolutely going to need to work on trying to make these changes, but it was not the greatest look for there not to be an opt-out from the beginning. It very much looked like a corporation working for a corporation rather than a corporation even pretending to be out to help the creators.
Yeah, I mean, this is the same problem that we've been running up against in all of these different situations, is that these large companies, these tech companies, it's the people who give them the most money, and that's not the user. The user is the product, as they always say. The user is what is being sold, not who's being sold to. So, yeah, this is something that we're going to figure out a better process for addressing this, because we're getting so much practice.
Yeah. Well, we've got some hot potatoes of wisdom here to follow
Ooh.
Up. Claire, does Apple even need our books to train the machines, or is this just kind of delaying the inevitable?
Well, it helps. It certainly helps Apple to have this much data. It's a lot of user data. It's a lot of voices, a lot of inflections. I don't think that it should be allowed to just take people's copyrighted material, even if the authors do it, because we're going to have to address the legal issues of a person's identity. Right? A person's actual identity. You can't copyright your identity, but we're going to have a lot of deep fakes. We're going to have voice manipulation and voice impersonations. These companies are going to be stealing the very things that we associate with a person's being. And do you have rights over it? So that's a really murky area. And I think that that's really the heart of this issue. It is inevitable that we're going to have to address it, because the Apple, all these other AI, you know, companies have so much data. They're moving forward whether we like it or not. And they have our data. If it's on Google, they're pulling it. You know, any images, they're pulling it. So we have to figure that out. But I do think that it is inevitable that we are going to live in an age where we have to fight for the rights to our voice and our image and our appearance.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. The things that make us who we are for sale, more or less.
All right, Brian, I need a hot potato of wisdom from you.
Okay, I'm ready.
Most authors don't even read the terms and conditions. Will things like this change how you treat contracts, agreements, and the checkboxes that indicate you've read them?
This is always a tough one. So will I change how I look at contracts as a result of how some of these big companies are treating AI voices and rights? I think it's a good idea to do it. We've all done it where we've said, oh, I need to get this thing installed. I'm going to check that says I've read it. I'll scroll to the bottom, check and say I've read it and moved on. But we do need to kind of determine, are we going to take that time? I, for the most part, have not in the past taken the time to do that sort of thing. But these instances keep coming up where it's helpful to have your copyright right then and there. It's helpful to be able to decline something. It's helpful to have a legal, knowledgeable person to look through something before you officially sign on the dotted line. I certainly, any rights contract that I would sign, say with a publisher or a foreign publisher or anything like that, I know I will not just say yes to it. And I think that these kind of situations are one of the reasons why I would get someone who knows contracts to look over it first.
Absolutely. I mean, of course, if you only have four viable options of where to publish your books, for instance, you kind of can't just say no because I don't like this one clause, you know? So yes, it's consent, but I would say it's dubious consent at best.
Little bit. Yeah. No, you make a good point. All right.
It also just reminds me of that South Park episode, which we won't go into because
we don't need to go in. This is a family-friendly show.
But it's a good one.
I found out my neighbor played this for his kids, so you know we've got a.
I'll just drop in the reference. Let y'all
search the clips on YouTube. All right, we're ready for the lightning round. Okay, Claire, if you had $250 to spend on a new book launch, how would you spend it and why?
All right, if I had $250 to spend on a new book launch, and it was not the first book in the series, it was a later book in the series, then I would spend that $250 promoting the first and whatever previous books in the series there are. So I would spend it on promo sites that do the series promo, like Free Booksy has a series promo that I found to be very effective. And that's, I think, $150, $160, something like that. So I'd throw it towards that. And I would discount my books first free, get it out there. Because the best thing you can do to sell a later book in the series is to sell the earlier books in the series. And they already exist, right? So that's what I would spend my money on if it was a later book in the series. If it's the first book in the series, I would probably not put $250 into that launch. I would probably wait. That's me. I like to wait till I have three. You don't have to if you want to do that. If you want to spend that $250, probably use it for any sort of creating graphics, sending out to other authors. Use it for something that's going to be a community and networking build, because that's the best way to get new readers, is to draw from existing pools.
That makes tons of sense. Great answer.
All right, Brian, what type of author service would you always pay for and never do yourself?
The author service I would always pay for and never do myself is anything having to do with graphics and covers. I once tried to make my own cover. It was a travesty that has been buried. All copies have been buried because I'm not a graphics person. And so I'm not only going to outsource the graphics, but I'm also going to outsource people with a knowledge of graphics looking at a cover before I move on to the final version, because I want opinions from people who know that kind of design. I don't. So I'm always going to get feedback and outsource someone else to do it.
So, perfect. Smart. Yeah. You're a smart guy, Brian.
I try to de-emphasize my weaknesses whenever possible, Claire. So, Claire, what type of services have you traded or bartered with other authors?
I have traded and bartered services with other authors when it comes to editing, cover design, any sort of marketing or graphics, blurbs. I've done that as well. That's actually how I got my start, is I was trading editing with another editor friend who was also a writer. She's still my editor now, but I pay her. but we would barter, so we would switch our manuscripts, and it kept the cost cheap. And, you know, just the other day, one of my friends who is good at blurbs, I met her through Best Page Forward. You know, we just swap blurbs. I will give someone, you know, free consulting if they help me out with something that they're good at. And it's just so much easier than dealing with money a lot of the time. So I still barter. Even though I could pay for things, I still barter, especially with friends that I trust.
I think it's smart to be frugal, and it's a good relationship builder. So that sounds pretty smart, Claire.
Am I smart too? Are we smart together?
I think we might be smart together.
Oh my God. Okay, Brian, how do you say no to another author without feeling like you're letting them down?
I say no to other authors without feeling like I'm letting them down by really trying to make sure they still get something out of it. Like if an author is like, hey, I'll trade you this service and you give me a blurb for free, or I'll trade you this and you give me an ad course for free, or please feature me on your podcast sort of thing. I have this, this, and this to say. I always try to find a way, like, oh, well, I can't do that, but maybe I could give you this thing that would help you learn, or maybe I could give you this. I could look at this thing for 5 seconds, or maybe I could share an article you wrote on the podcast. Like, I try to find a way, because I really don't like confrontation. I really do like it when people who reach out to me are able to get something positive out of it. And so I will still try to find a way to help, even if I can't help them in the exact way that they're looking for.
That is so generous of you, Brian.
Probably too generous. And that's what my team keeps saying anyway.
You're making me feel like a complete miser over here.
No. I go too far.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I can feel that way. Maybe I like it.
Okay, fair enough. All right. I don't want to take your feelings from you. Feel your feelings.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. So, Claire, last question here for the lightning round before we get to the question of the week. If you have dozens of ideas for stories in many genres, how would you decide which one or ones to write?
Okay, if I had dozens of ideas for stories in a lot of genres, I would decide which one to go with by sitting on them. For me, I got to sit on them for a little bit. You got to incubate. You got to see which eggs actually will hatch something useful. Or there's other approaches. Obviously, that's my approach. But you can look at the markets and you can see which one of those genres is the easiest to sell in, which one is most aligned with how you would like to write that story. There's all kinds of things you can do. But I think the first step is to figure out what your creative values are. What do you value in your career? How are you going to make your decisions like this in your career? And that's something that, you know, you can figure out by talking to me or reading my book or any of my free stuff, because you want to figure out how you are making your decisions so that they give you the most emotional fulfillment when you actually live through them.
I love that. While you were talking, I thought of another one that absolutely applies to you as well, that a genre has the audience you want to continue entertaining rather than maybe an audience that keeps asking for more.
Well, yeah, it's nice to have readers ask for more, but yes, it does help to have an audience who you would be okay like hanging out with.
Right.
Who wouldn't make you, you know, really annoyed.
Yep, that's why I brought it up. Okay, so Claire, we need a question of the week here. Obviously, we talked about this these clauses that we don't like, that don't bring us gifts. They just bring us pain.
Not Mr. and Mrs. here.
Not Mr. and Mrs. Claire, what do you think we should ask our wonderful listeners today?
I would like to know if anyone has not pursued a profitable path because they didn't like the terms listed.
Ooh, I like that. Have
and
you?
And if so, what was the term?
Yeah. Have you gone down a different road than most because you didn't like the terms of one of the more profitable publishing paths? And what was the thing that was your deal breaker that made you not want to, that made you not want to follow that path?
This is really just a little something for Darren Sapp, I feel like.
Right, right. Darren, this one's big one right over the plate for you, Darren. You and everyone else can answer the question of the week over at the Sell More Book Show After Party Facebook group or at sellmorebookshow.com in the comment section for episode 463. Claire, I feel like I see the light having come back into your eyes with your Kickstarter being done. I think that you are on the road to post-Kickstarter recovery.
Thanks. I hope so. I didn't know that the light had died in my eyes, but thank
Not
you for
died,
letting me.
But I would definitely say dimmed.
Yeah. Okay. I'd go with that.
Yeah. It was a lot. These things are a lot of work, and I'm glad some people in the show were able to contribute, myself included. And I am glad you can go back to doing the right amount of work for a person.
That's what you think I do. Interesting. Just the right amount.
Well, maybe a closer to right amount. I don't know.
True. I'll take that.
All right. Yeah. So definitely go check out all of Claire's wonderful free stuff that she said that you could use to learn what your decision-making process should be for your career. And definitely... come on by any of the stuff I have going on. I'm now posting on the socials, all the socials, pretty much every day of the week. So go check me out. Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube Shorts. I'm there. Go check me out.
Oh, Brian Cohen's everywhere.
I'm trying. Omnipresence. For Claire, I'm Brian. Have a great week of bookselling, everybody. And we'll be back next week with episode 464. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Sell More Book Show. Visit the website at www.sellmorebookshow.com for detailed show notes and subscription information, or to send us news or comments for use on the show. Also, please take a moment to subscribe to the show and leave us a review. Thank you very much for listening, and happy bookselling.